In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Some time ago, I had a small problem in the back. It's not anything of great importance, but there's a small lesson that I learned, and basically had to undergo a very minor operation, which was not in any way dangerous or anything, but just kind of necessary. And as a result, because there was just some minor operation, which left a small wound that had to be kind of recover, it was kind of in the middle of the back and in some positions very unpleasant, like, for example, going to bed, because suddenly you're like, and trying to go to bed, and then if you turn, as you can imagine, little things like that, suddenly you're like, completely, oh no. I was thinking about this recently, because I was reading or listening to a biography of Saint Edmund Campion. Saint Edmund Campion, as you may know, was an English martyr in the times of Queen Elizabeth, so in the early stages of, early stages of the English Reformation, and a time in which Catholics were persecuted in England. And Edmund Campion was a very talented young man who became Catholic, and then he went abroad to study. He wanted to become a Jesuit, and then after some time he was sent back to England to try to administer to the Catholics there in the country. Unfortunately, well, it depends on how you see it, but in terms of administering to the Catholics, it didn't work out too well. Quite soon he was captured, and he was tortured and everything, and killed very, very brutally. And this got me thinking, because I had read something about Edmund Campion years ago, and I had thought, oh, it's so impressive, you know, these martyrs and so on, like, wow. And now I thought of this contrast between someone who suffers a lot for the faith and someone who can hardly take a little bit of wound in the back, which is nothing like compared to what some people have suffered. And it was a lesson in humility. It was a lesson in humility, in this kind of knowledge of oneself, of our limits, my limits. I realized, well, maybe you're not like this, but it happens to many of us that when we see something, we hear of something impressive, we identify with that, and we would like to be like that. We're like, oh, I would do the same, of course, and I would be a great martyr, and wow, so. But then very ordinary things in life, you can hardly bear them without beginning to complain, and then you're tired, and you're easily irritated, and you answer with anger, because I have slept badly, and why do you bother me? And a lesson in humility. There's a great phrase which has some connection with this, but I like it very much, by a Jewish philosopher called Abraham Joshua Heschel. He once said, more or less, that a person who has not suffered, what does he know? A person who has not suffered, what does he know? Well, the theme of our meditation is not suffering, but it's humility. Humility through knowledge of ourselves. Ultimately, the virtue of humility is something deeper, and we can see its depth in the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is an example of humility to us. An incredible example, and basically all his life on earth from the incarnation and the birth in Bethlehem to his, obviously all the steps of his life and death on the cross is a great lesson in humility. And even in the resurrection, that great event of the resurrection, which we meditate in this Easter time. Last week, I think it was last week in our meditation, we considered how Jesus, after his resurrection, he didn't make a big show of it. He didn't appear to great masses. There's an incredible humility in God. In God the Father, there's also a humility that he doesn't want to be like. He gives, but he gives such a freedom to his creatures. And God the Son, who comes to us and gives us an example of humility. Also the God the Holy Spirit, who is the architect of our sanctification. But so often he remains in the shadows, so to speak. He remains in the background. He doesn't want to kind of attract much attention. Now, God doesn't need a particular kind of knowledge of himself in order to become humble, as in, you know, knowledge of my limits in order to be humble. God is, he has perfect knowledge of himself, of course, that he is capable of anything, he has no limits. Perhaps because of that, somehow, he's also infinitely humble. But we, his creatures, we grow in humility principally by knowledge of ourselves, coming to know ourselves truly, truthfully. Some people say that humility is truth, like humility is living in truth, living in accordance with truth. In order to have that kind of humility about that knowledge of ourselves, we need God's help, certainly. We need God's grace. We need also spiritual direction. But let's just highlight this fact that the virtue of humility, which is so important, I mean, you remember those words of St. Peter's letter, God resists the proud but gives his grace to the humble. So Lord, we want to be humble. We want to grow in humility because that is the foundation of all spiritual life. That is the foundation of our love. That is the foundation of holiness which we desire. And pride is something very unpleasant. We notice it in others. If there's someone who kind of acts with a lot of pride, self-conceit, we immediately react like, oof, how unpleasant, you know? Oof, how unpleasant to be in the company of that person who is so proud. And then we look at ourselves, ooh, like, am I so different? Maybe in other things. Am I so different? It's a challenge for all of us. And usually the moment I think, oh, I'm certainly humble, we have just fooled ourselves. But the solution is not to say, I'm so proud, I'm so proud. There's no trick like that. It's learning to live in truth. But it is a great virtue, And it's not just that kind of thinking that we are nothing, thinking that we are just so small that we cannot do anything. It's living in truth, in the whole truth. As they say, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Our smallness, our nothingness, and our greatness. The greatness of our vocation as God's children. The greatness of God's love for us, which is truly great. And that is not only compatible with humility. I would say it's essential for true humility to know that we are loved. Then we can be humble in a deep way that gives us peace. Saint Jose Maria writes in this book, The Way, humility is one of the good ways to achieve interior peace. He has said so. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. These are words of Christ from the Gospel according to Matthew. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Indeed, pride takes away peace from our hearts. It makes us restless. True humility leads us to peace. But not to kind of false humility, denying our abilities or denying our responsibilities. It leads us to that combination in which we are aware of our need of God, that we need God. Awareness of our complete reliance and dependence on God. In every moment of my existence, Lord, I am in your hands. That's a metaphor, of course. You don't have hands, you're not material. But metaphorically speaking, you hold me in your hands by maintaining me in existence. Every moment of my life, every moment of the existence of this world. And for my growth, especially for my spiritual growth and my growth in humility and the virtues and holiness, I'm in complete need of you, need of your grace. And I want to remember that. If I want to truly improve, I cannot do it on my own. We heard those words of Jesus in the Gospel. Maybe it was in the Mass yesterday or today, I can't remember for sure, but they're from St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, that beautiful image, parable of the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, like without me, you can do nothing. Nothing of true value, nothing lasting, nothing that endures to eternal life. So therefore I am, Lord, completely in need of you. But at the same time, I have full security in your paternal help, your fatherly help, that you care about me. That you that you love me, that you want me to exist. You don't doubt about maintaining me in existence. Not for a second. If your existence happened to include seconds, it doesn't. But from all eternity, you desire my existence. And you desire my growth, you desire my holiness. Therefore, you will not hold back those gifts. The only thing you need is my humility. True knowledge of ourselves is that complete knowledge according to God's way of seeing me, seeing us, taking into account everything that is relevant, the whole picture, our smallness and our greatness, our weakness and our potential for great things when we use our natural talents and when we correspond to God's grace. Humbly acknowledge your weakness. Then you can say with the apostle, cum enim infirmor tunc potens sum. From when I am weak, then I am strong. Those are words of St. Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians. Humbly acknowledge your weakness. Then you can say with the apostle, when I am weak, then I am strong. We become strong by acknowledging our weakness and relying more on God. But at the same time, we use all the powers, all the natural powers that we have, all our abilities. Another idea of Saint Jose Maria in this book, The Way, is that false humility is laziness. Such a humbleness leads you to give up rights that really are duties. And there is a paradox that humility very truly is not just to think small about ourselves, to think like very little about ourselves. It is in fact possible to have a very low opinion of ourselves and at the same time be very self-centered, to think a lot about ourselves. Now that of course has nothing to do with the virtue of humility. It can be even a kind of a hidden pride, which we cover with the apparent low opinion of ourselves. Let's reject that firmly and for all. Lord, I don't want any kind of false humility like that. Let me read from some words of Saint Jose Maria that also writes about this. Almost all those who have personal problems, like personal problems refers to like we all have difficulties in life, but personal problems is like someone who like thinks about, oh, I have all these problems. Almost all those who have personal problems have them because of selfishly thinking about themselves. What we have to do is to give ourselves to others, to serve others for the love of God. That's the way to make our sorrows disappear. Most of our difficulties stem from forgetting about the service we owe to others and from dwelling on our own ego. Lord, help us truly to reject this temptation of dwelling on our own ego. And I'll read in the same vein, I'll read just a few more words which kind of really hammer in on the same point. Don't center your concerns on the state of your health or your reputation or your career. This is mine, that's yours, mine, yours. Look, you haven't got anything at all. If you've really given yourself, then you're our things, God's things, everybody's things. Mine, mine, mine. How tiresome. When you spend all day feeling perhaps humiliated because you think your ideas ought to prevail. When you spend your time thinking all about yourself and about your own thing, then that's bad, very bad. You're killing your own time. And you're in need of us to kill off your self-centeredness. Well, those are very harsh words, but they can be very helpful for us as a, at least they help me when I hear those words, that to really react, no Lord, indeed, that is not how I want to live. That is not the example that you have given. Meek and humble of heart, yes, but how do you live, Jesus? You live thinking about the others. And I know it's part of my way of humility to realize that it's hard for me. Maybe there is someone in the world, I don't know who he or she might be, maybe there's someone in the world who is just naturally humble. But I think most of us, and at least myself, we need to make an effort. And these little things, like whatever these physical illnesses or just the falling again to self-centeredness or those interior monologues where I start to listen, or those wonderful ideas that I have myself, and start to give lectures to myself in my mind. All those things, well, Lord, I need to start again and again. How can we grow in this true humility? Just a few quick ideas before we finish. So, one thing we considered in the beginning was that we need God's grace. And in addition to God's grace, we need spiritual direction. It's not strictly necessary for humility, but it is a great help. And by spiritual direction, I mean just frequently or with some regularity talking with someone else about my life, my spiritual life, my whatever, what happens in my life, asking for some advice, just opening my heart. It is very effective because it's a great way, it's a great context for putting things in words, boldly, courageously, telling everything, including what I have tried. I mean, it might be, imagine you go to confession. Imagine you go regularly to confession, you always accuse yourself, I did this, or that, da, 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 I'm so bad. Now, that can be a beginning of humility, but if you just, supposing, I mean, it's not that you do it, but supposing that you just insist on how bad you are, it's quite likely that you're not completely truthful. It's not just that that's not the whole picture, but also truthfulness involves, okay, what have I tried? What have I managed to do? How did it go? At least I find that in spiritual direction and confession, if we have those habits, it's very good for humility to be quite concrete, kind of specific. Not just to use general titles, but specifics. What have I done? What exactly happened? What were my choices? That way, I take responsibility of my own actions. And that is humility. That is humility. Another way of humility is gratitude, giving thanks. It's a wonderful way of humility which we can practice every day in many ways. We can practice it with God, especially from the beginning of the day, giving thanks for many things that we receive. And let's remember that it's not a question of feelings. It doesn't matter what I feel. Oh Lord, I want to feel so grateful. God has all the right to say to me, you feel whatever you like, but give thanks with your soul. Don't give too much importance to how you feel. Give thanks, say it aloud or say it in your mind. Practice gratitude. We can practice it with God, especially if we're able to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion, and then we spend some moments in thanksgiving. But we don't have many words there. Maybe we can find some prayers, or we can just whatever. Don't worry about not having so many words. We practice gratitude with other people around us, saying thanks. I mean, it can be just kind of a social custom, which is very good. But we can actually mean it, like by saying thanks to another person, we practice gratitude, and that fosters an attitude of humility in us, awareness that we have received something valuable and we are grateful for it. We didn't have the right, we were not owed that, like as something automatic. And then thinking about others and serving others, looking for ways to serve, especially if you live in with other people in a residence like this. It's good sometimes to think, well, how do I learn? How do I serve others in concrete ways? At meals, for example, am I attentive to what other people might need? Well, I don't know how you organize things in the dinners. But normally there are little things, you know, that one is attentive to if someone needs water and so on. It's very nice. Sometimes you notice it with people who have this habit. They don't do it in a way that attracts attention, but they notice immediately someone, would you like some water? We're not just kind of my food here, nobody. Nobody bother. Then someone asks, like, how was your day? How was your day? What? Don't you come here? She was going to take my bread. No, that while we're eating, for example, we're attentive to others. We ask how their day was. How was the exam? You had this worry, how was it going? Or someone is applying for a job. Daily things, ordinary things. It's a great way of growing in humility by forgetting ourselves. Well, it is a great virtue, and let's truly desire it. And I just want to finish with some words of Saint Augustine, one of the great church fathers, and he wrote a lot about humility. He emphasized how humility is really the foundation of charity. Therefore, charity is the highest of all virtues, but also very hard. It's really a gift of God. Humility is the way to charity. So he writes, "If you want to be great, begin by being little. If you want to raise a building up to heaven, think first of laying the foundation of humility. The bigger the structure is intended to be, and the higher the building, the deeper you have to dig the foundations. For the building to rise high, the one laying the foundation must dig deep into the ground. And so the building, before rising, humiliates itself, and its pinnacle rises rises up after the humiliation. Well, that really sums up the theme. It's magnanimity, it's a desire for greatness, holiness, but the way is humility. And we have learned it. This through Christ our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And also, obviously, through the Blessed Virgin Mary, Ancilla Domini, the servant of the Lord. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.